as we look tonight in Luke chapter 1, we finished off with this last night. I'm going to pick up with it. As Zacharias, of course, is coming to the tabernacle there, to the temple, to do his priestly duties. And we get down to verse 15, as the angel is talking to him there. He tells him in verse 13, let's back at verse 13. But the angel said to him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost." That's what I underline here in my Bible, filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." John the Baptist, of course, is the last of the Old Testament prophets. He's going to come in there with one message, that the Messiah is here. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. He's going to come in there preaching that very thing. And as we look at that phrase tonight, we're looking at filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you again tonight, Lord. What a great meeting we've had here this week. We pray, God, that you'll continue tonight. Lord, help us and bless us, and God, do a great work. Lord, that you'll just put your power on the meeting tonight. God, according to Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes, that I behold wondrous things out of thy law." And Lord, that you'd help me to preach tonight, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And Lord, we ask all this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. When we look at the perfect word of God, I always used to wonder why these people wouldn't write out and out, tell me where the Bible is. And the reason was, they didn't know where it was. And when I got saved, they put an NIV in my hand and told me that I come in looking like something the cat drug in, you know. Had long hair and long beard, flip-flops, a pair of blue jeans, had all kind of colors on them from where I worked in a dye house. I wore the best I had till I got something better. Nobody ever gave me any problem about it. I hear people say, "Well, they fancy dress." Listen, I went to a country church when I was little. When I got saved, I go in this big city church. They had chandeliers and all this other. I'd never seen a chandelier in church in my life at that point. Except the day I got married, was in that church, and then, you know, a few years later come back, and I forgot they were there. I was so nervous that day. If you go back and look at the tape of the wedding where we're holding hands, it looks like we thumb wrestling. We're just sitting there trying to comfort each other, you know, really slow, and, you know, we go back and watch, it looks like we're thumb wrestling now. But as we went in there, I read that Bible in 3 months, cover to cover. See, what they thought is, they thought I had been riddled by drugs, and I'd be, you know, some stupid something. I could read. If I can do nothing else, I can read. I've read a couple of books this week and bought, what happened, about 10 or 12 more. I love reading. That's good. You gain a lot from reading. And I was watching as I read that stuff, and I told somebody this before, that every time there'd be a number left out with a blank beside it and a little note said it shouldn't be there, I wrote them things down. I had 17 of them when I went to my pastor out of the NIV. And I told him what, I said, "I don't understand this." He called me a church splitting Ruckmanite. I promise you those very words. I didn't know what a church, I said, I knew what a church splitter, but I found out I wasn't a Ruckmanite either. Yeah. See, a lot of people follow that guy, and they only act like him. You should do that way by no human being. No. I've been to Dr. Ruckman's bookstore. He carries 5% of his books, and 95% of everybody else's you can think of as a good author. I will say that for the man. He is very well read and stuff like that. And the stuff he is right on, you couldn't find a problem with if you tried with a microscope. I'm still not one. I was preaching King James only Bible conferences. I told you, brother, I was a Southern Baptist preaching King James Bible conferences. It was like, who are you? They'd look at me like I was crazy or something. I thought if you followed the Lord, you'd be one too. Be King James only without all the details. But I set out that day to find out why my pastor got so mad at me. So I went to the Christian bookstore right above me. And the lady that worked there, she worked at the florist shop where we bought Justin's flowers the other day. Yeah, I ain't seen her in a long time. And I walked in there, me and my wife, but when I went in there, I said, "Listen," I said, I've read this Bible. I said, "I want to understand why there's such a problem with that." When I told my pastor, I told him, She handed me a little book called Let's Weigh the Evidence, a little paperback about that thick. And I went home and read that thing, and I seen all the differences they showed, and I put that thing down never to pick it up again. I went to the Christian bookstore, got me a leather-covered Bible like Grandma reads. Amen. I didn't know how to ask for it properly. But when I asked for it, that other guy worked there, he went back there and he said, "This is what you want." And I couldn't understand why that guy so tore out of frame by having to get me what I wanted. He worked there, you know. But it's more than just a selling point. It's a doctrinal thing to these people. And I will say this, they've been taught wrong because I went to some of their schools. I don't think some of them are malicious, and I think they're just taught wrong. I think that's what it is. That's my opinion. I think they've been taught wrong. They think I've been taught wrong. I'm willing to go to heaven like I am right now and face the judgments of God over it. I'm like Lester Roloff. I think I'll be walking down the middle of the street of gold with a King James Bible and not be ashamed in heaven. Now, this is coming from 25 years worth of studying that subject. I'm telling you, I don't think God's got a problem with it. One of the things I've noticed over the years, and I pray and I say, "Lord, don't you show me something today," and so forth. I was reading over that Philippians message the other day about the supply of the Spirit of Christ, and the Lord has laid on my heart over the years just to look up certain words, look up certain things, and when I get to them, I'm always amazed at how God's numbering system is with these phrases and these numbers and things. If I had time tonight, I would preach to you 5 hours on the phrases and words in the Bible that occur certain times. It's incredible. You know, I showed you that Calvary's in the Bible one time. One time. God's got one plan of salvation, one Savior, and there's only one way, and that's through Him. Yeah. Two's the number for witness, and there's a lot of things line up in the Bible for two. He sent them out two by two, so forth like that. Acts chapter 2, He made a bunch of witnesses out there in one day. You get to the number 3, that's God's fingerprint on this universe, and you can see it throughout Scripture. You've got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. You got all kind of things. And God's into all forms of math. 1 times 1 times 1 equals 1. These 3 are 1. You know, you get to the number 4, number for the world. You'll see things in the Bible mentioned 4 times and are always worldly or something like that. 5's the number. I used to believe it's for grace and death, but now I believe it's just for death according to the Bible, because every time you see number 5 show up, it's death. Genesis chapter 5. Remember the devil said, "Oh, surely thou, you won't die." In chapter 5, they all started dying over there. Incredible. Adam, listen, you get over and start seeing chapter 5, verse 5. Some of these words occur in different things. Number 5. The number 6 is number for man. And I know that these people say all this stuff's coincidence. How about this coincidence? If you look in that book you've got in your hand or in your lap, Romans chapter 6, the 6th book of the New Testament, the 6th chapter, the 6th verse, if you count down 6 words and it's man. Unbelievable. See, that's what you miss when you don't have this. God's got this book loaded with stuff. On that sermon audio website and on our Victory Baptist Church app, we got a lot of those number studies. All the ones that recorded are out there, and I want to go back and fill in the ones that's not if I do them just sitting at my desk. But when you get to number 7, you got the number for perfection, completeness. The rainbow has how many colors again? Just 7. And by the way, to the Sodomites, he's returning soon, and he wants that back, and he's going to take it back from you.
Amen.
They've stolen that symbol. That's okay. God's coming back, and he's going to set all that in accord, and all the rainbow flags are coming down. The rainbow, we only see a part of it here on earth as a promise he'll never flood the world again, but you go study the rainbow in the Bible, it's around God's throne. It's a complete circle. You see the number 7 is perfection, completeness, and things like that. You go Sunday's your first day of the week, go all the way to Saturday. And then Saturday, after that day, that is the 8th, there's not an 8th day that starts back over the 1st, and 8 becomes the number of new beginnings. That piano only has 7 notes on it. Every time you get to the 8th, it starts over. Isn't that incredible? Somebody came up to me after service one time, I said this, brother, they said this, "Well, you know, it's got them little sharp and flat keys." Shut up. They're sharps and flats, not holes.
Yep.
People, listen, they'll strain at a gnat and swallow a camel trying to get away from God and His book. But the other morning, I looked at this phrase, "filled with the Holy Ghost." And I looked at that, and I knew when I looked at it, there's something about it. So I went over and I typed that thing in, done a phrase search 8 times in the Bible. Do you know that 8 being the number of new beginnings, you got saved, you got a new beginning. Now, how about this part? you don't get filled with the happiness of the Holy Ghost until after you get saved.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? Just lined up just like that. But as we start tonight, we looked at the path of God in this verse 15 about Him being filled with the Holy Ghost. He's the last Old Testament prophet set aside. As Jeremiah mentioned, He knew me from my mother's womb in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. He was ordained from His mother's womb, just like John. He's already telling what He's going to do. Brother Ronnie, I mentioned to us the other night that we think we're prophets, like a New Testament type prophet. We're like Levites. We cause people to understand and we serve the house of God. We're more like them than a prophet. But that's pastors and preachers and evangelists and teachers and so forth like that. But when one is filled with the Holy Ghost, they shall neither drink wine nor strong drink. I'm amazed at the preachers that won't preach on alcohol.
Yeah.
They don't say a word about it. We went to through a thing here a while back. A guy out of my church got up this great big thing about not selling alcohol on Sunday. That thing had come up in the city council meeting. I think there was 5 or 7 churches over there. I can't remember. Went over there with them. WSPA was there with the TV cameras and all this other stuff. And it was funny to me. I got to looking around all the preachers that was there. The guy from Northside was there, Brother Joel Phillips. The guy, what was his name? The guy down at Rose Hill was there. I mean, there's several people there to oppose that alcohol on Sunday sales. That city council chamber was full up except for 2 people that was against that thing. 2 in the back was a businessman, his wife. Both of them reprobates unto God. Holding up signs, pass that bill, you know, all this other stuff. And I thought, how can this be? In a day and age when a town's full of churches, they want to have alcohol sales on Sunday. I noticed the large First Baptist church right across the road from City Hall, not one member, not one deacon, and the preacher would not even walk across the road for that thing.
Yep.
And I thought to myself, I get it. Your deacons drank, your members drank, and if you said one word about it, that'd run you out on the rail. Amen. The next largest church down the road, 2 of their deacons on that council voted for it. Mm-hmm. Ain't that something? The guys that voted said no. I mean, you had what? I think it was 1 guy. The mayor at the time, he went to church right across the road,
yep.
Voted for it, introduced the bill himself. So what was it about? You squander people's money and then you come back and try to introduce the bill, get more money in that you can squander. No, I wonder why he got voted out this time. I hope your mayor gets voted out this time if he's for stuff like that. I don't know if he is or not. I didn't ask. But I noticed this. Everybody's filled with the Holy Ghost has no use for wine or strong drink. Because listen, when you get saved, you get sealed with the Holy Ghost. But after being saved, you get filled with the Holy Ghost at His leisure when He wants to use you for something. And I promise you, God's never used 1 preacher, not 1, that walks around with a beer in his refrigerator or liquor in his car. This 5-point Calvinist back home had a radio station in Spartanburg. He would talk to you like this and look down on you if you did not agree with him. I'll never forget the day they pulled him over on I-85 in South Carolina. Got him for DUI and open container in the car.
Yep.
I wish I could have ran into him before he died and go, "Balderdash, sir." Isn't that something? What was wrong with him? He is filled with the Institutes of Religion by John Calvin, but he wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He had an abundance of reading, but not abundance of feeling. If you want to have time spent with God and ask God to feed you with the Holy Ghost, He will. That don't mean you're going to flop around like a fish that's dying, but it does mean you'll have an abundance of God, and God will have an abundance of you and can use you. I always pray that God help me when I preach, because I know I'm not much of a preacher, but I do know this. This is much of a book. He's much of a God. And if He gets much of me, He'll get much of you. That's how God works. He don't do anything without the Holy Ghost. That's the key thing on earth, what God does here. If He says, "I'll be with you always," He's going to be with you through the Holy Ghost. If He says, "All that come to me, I'll give them rest," He's going to give them rest in the Holy Ghost. If He says, if somebody says, "I want to get saved," they won't get saved without the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, He's the regenerator in the deal. He's the one bursts you in the family of God. He's the one draws you to Christ. You may be saved. He is. God does everything through that. But we look at a second thing tonight. If you look up verse 41, Mary is going to visit Elizabeth. In verse 39, it says, "And Mary rose in those days and went to the hill country with haste unto the city of Judah." And it says there, "And entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost." I wrote this down thinking about this, that when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you can hear about God's Son. That thing rubs off on you. And I don't know how many of us can take a leap over it, but you want to, whether you can or not. My days of running laps around the church are probably over with, but, you know, I still want to do it when something happens when I get around God's people. I get excited about the things of God the way I used to about the things of the world. What changed? I got saved. Now listen, when I get around other people that loves the Lord, I get filled. You get filled. There's excitement there. I'd rather be here and down the road at the ball game. And I don't care if the Dallas Cowboys is playing your team. I'd come down here and preach to you before I go watch them. That was my favorite team for years. You say, what happened? All this foolishness they're doing. I know our president gets heavily criticized for saying stuff about them, but I just believe the same as he does. LeBron James needs to be sticking to the basketball court, and these football players need to be sticking to the football field. I went to Graceland in 2011, and I wasn't going to go out there, but I was preaching near there, and I thought, I'm going to go now that I'm out here. And I will never forget, in Vernon Presley's office, they had a screen going with the interviews and things. They interviewed Elvis in 1972 at Madison Square Garden. Three sold-out shows he was going to have, and they had a press conference. And they said, "Mr. Presley, what do you think about the war going on in Vietnam?" His reply should be every athlete and entertainer's reply. Elvis said this, "The king," "the gang." He said, "Ma'am, I'm an entertainer. I have no public opinion on anything on politics." I stood there for a minute, and I let the thing play till it played back again so I could make sure I heard what he said. And that's the way it ought to be.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, I had no idea who voted for anybody. And you didn't either. Nobody told that. Now, they put it on Facebook who they vote for. They could be lying to you, you know. I don't know. You'll never know if they're truth or not about that, because you can't go find it out. Their signature's not attached to any of it. But I do know this. I'm going to vote for the team that's against abortion. You've been wondering why they've been giving that lady so much problem with that court? There's the problem right there. They know when she comes on, it's 5-4, and they reverse 1972's Roe versus Wade. They're saying there's a law, and they're worried about it. It ain't even been, they ain't even approached that subject. That's how scared they are of it. Bunch of baby-killing devils is all that crowd is.
Yeah.
I went back, and I've been listening to all this stuff lately, and I thought, you know, when somebody's filled with the Holy Ghost, they don't want to kill that baby, they want to keep it. You're looking at two women face-to-face with each other. One's baby just hears the other one talking inside, starts jumping around. You know what that shows you? Life begins at conception.
Yep.
How many days was she by that point? Six months? And Mary was just right there? And both of them, you see that life begins at conception. Every nurse I've ever had, and I'm preaching, someone preaching on that subject, they come up and tell me every doctor they've ever met and every nurse they work with believes the same thing. So how do these people work for this abortion clinics? They're killers, and they need to be put in prison. Listen, they don't need to be boycotted and marched around. They need to be prosecuted and put in prison. If this is 100 years ago and somebody opened up something like that, they'd lock them up for murder. And they'd hang him out there in the courtyard right after the trial. My Uncle Don, who's in heaven now, he's a country boy from way back. He is in the Korean War, and he speaks frankly on everything. And I've heard him say this around people that double dog disagreed and dared him to say it. He said, "I'm going to tell you what, if these murderers and all these criminals and all these rapists would be hung out there in front of that court, we'd quit having all these crimes."
Yep.
I thought, man. I said, "Lord, if you just give me half that kind of thing, I'd like it. Just be bold like that." But I'll get to you how you be bold with preaching as well in this. If you look over at verse 67 this chapter, the only writer in the New Testament on the inspiration of God deals with the subject of being filled with the Holy Ghost by that phrase is Luke. He says down in verse number 67, it says, "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, And what he's going to say is a message from verse 68 down to verse 79. And when these people prophesy, it occurs when the prophet is filled with the Holy Ghost. Every time in the Old Testament, if it says, thus saith the Lord, he filled that prophet to give out what thus saith the Lord is. And the message of Zacharias, if you look down through it right quickly, he starts off, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Talking about, listen, filled with the Holy Ghost, saying this, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Listen, your New Testament, that statement right there is so important that Matthew chapter 1 starts with and Revelation ends with David over there talking about that. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. Did you hear this morning that Sudan's fixing to sign that peace accord, another Muslim nation that says Israel has the right to exist?
Yep.
Did you know they believe that a lot of them people don't believe they have a right to exist? That's why we're trying to inch their land off. And every time we go over and monkey with Israel, God sends something bad in this country. 1992, George H. Bush goes over there and with the that little ugly terrorist, I can't think of it. Yasser Arafat, that's his name. Thank you, Lord. But God don't like terrorists. And when he went over there talking with that guy trying to give Israel's land away, while he was having the talk with him, a hurricane heads towards America, goes up and goes right across that little, the states up northeast, destroying the Bush vacation home. Men should study history that they should learn not to repeat history. That's Winston Churchill, right? Just a few years back, we remodeled a house and moved in it. One of the biggest news items on the day was Hurricane Katrina going to New Orleans. Would you believe George W. Bush was over there doing the same thing with a different Arab? They don't learn. They just keep doing the dumbest things. And the craziest thing here, he's talking about the Lord God of Israel up here and so forth, and our enemies that hate us and all that. And I seen a thing today between Biden and Trump. Biden wants to not recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, which that's what Israel recognizes the capital as. Everybody in the world says Tel Aviv. And the United States did that all the way up until this year, and we're recognizing Jerusalem. There's a major voting point right there to consider. Oh, and the baby killing thing. That's number one. I don't care about fracking and all that stuff. We're going to have to run on oil till about another 100 years probably until it runs out. But that thing with all that baby killing, how do you get around that? But look at this. We said this man's filled with the Holy Ghost. He starts prophesying all that. Verse 68 down to verse 79 there is a message you ought to study, preach, look at, tear it apart verse by verse and word by word. What a blessing that thing is right there. But if you look over in Acts chapter 2, I had some holiness guy come to me and said, you Baptist preachers, y'all like to preach the Bible, but you won't touch Acts. I preached all the way through 28 chapters of Acts, verse by verse and word by word. I come in one end, a Bible believer, and I left as a Bible believer when I got through with the journey. Yeah. Jesus Christ needs to be exalted through the whole journey. They're looking to find their pet doctrines and take verses out of context. I'm going to show you something you never thought you'd hear from a Baptist preacher tonight. Now watch this. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came from a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, ain't that something? You look at that thing right there, and when they started talking in tongues there, it was different than what you hear this Habashiba, who stole my Honda, look at my bow tie. I did that in prison one time, brother, and they thought I had the gift. And I was telling the exact same thing I was telling y'all. Oh, no, you wasn't joking. You got the gift. Listen, when the Bible says tongues, it don't mean some jibber-jabber they can teach you in Sunday school class to teach you that's talking in tongues. Talking in tongues is known languages. Here's the funny part. If you've got all them nations, I think there's 172 nations or something, somebody told me one time, or different languages there. 12 men stood up while Peter stood up. He started speaking in tongues, and they all did. The miracle wasn't in the ear. You know why? They didn't understand all the languages, but they understood theirs. 12 languages out of one mouth at the same time. All they heard was was their language. So why was the miracle in the ear? Because God was using the men that was anointed to get the message out. He preached them a gospel message. Isn't that something? And how were they doing it? filled with the Holy Ghost. These people, we're going to have a Pentecost day, and they'll jump around on the floor and all this other stuff. Quit acting foolish and go pay your bills on time. Yeah. Don't worry, they know what I'm talking about. Amen and amen. Well, I like it. You know what we do at our church? We pay the bills first.
Yeah.
We had a note on our church, and we did paid it off. Owe no man nothing but to love one another. That's kind of in the Bible.
Yeah.
I rented a Dave Ramsey's book and started reading that. Gave you a game plan how to pay everybody off. I like that. Well, I'm trying to get them all gone now. Even so, come Lord Jesus. If not, let me get it paid for before you get here, one way or another. I'm like Brandon. I made sure when I leave, it's all going to be paid. Amen. Listen to this. These people over there, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were speaking known language that they did not know. That'd be like me bursting out in Russian right now. And there's somebody here in Russia, they said, oh my God, he's preaching in Russian all of a sudden. I can hear him. It troubled them people. If you look down at verse number 23 down here in this chapter, look what starts happening. Acts chapter 2, verse 23. Your Bible says these very words, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by wicked hands and have crucified and slain. Who was that about? He just charged everybody standing there that they crucified the Lord. The Romans did it, but he's charging them with it. It says in verse 24 there, he said, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. What God do raised him from the dead. Verse 31, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Amen. I want to ask you a question. When's the last time you watched that bunch on TV or been in one of the churches they preach that? In their little languages? Mm-hmm. Never. Not one time. I heard John R. Rice say this one time. He said, I would shout Oral Roberts on when he preached the gospel. The problem is he don't. Crazy, right? If you know Oral Roberts died in a Baptist hospital, he went and go to his own university when he was sick. His own medical university, he went to a Baptist hospital. Had a heart attack and died. Ain't that something? I wonder if they'd got him to the other one, he could have died there, or they'd have healed him. By the way, them guys have no healing powers.
Amen.
If you go study healing in the Bible, you're going to find it's in God's hand and not in no man's.
Amen.
If you find a man God's using to raise that somebody up from the dead or heal them, they're always an apostle or a prophet or something like that. It's never a pastor of a church.
Yep.
Or a evangelist with phony hair. You know what the biggest, you know what my daddy told me growing up? Never trust a man with a toupee, amen. Don't worry, Brother Tim, I ain't getting one. If I do, I'm getting one like Ric Flair. Of course, the brethren won't like that long-haired look because I'll be 80s Ric Flair, amen, not current Ric Flair. Current Ric Flair's kind of got a spot like I do now. But when we look at this thing about being filled with the Holy Ghost, if you look over at Acts chapter 4, down at verse 8, the Bible tells us over there, we saw the performance of God in Acts chapter 2. Now we see the power of God over here in Acts chapter 4 in two places. Here in verse 31, it says in verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers and people and elders of Israel. Now he's fixing to tell a bunch of people that's telling him not to preach. He's jumping up and preaching right in front of them. I like that. He didn't care if the mayor was there or the president. He's going to say the same thing. Why? Because he's filled with the Holy Ghost. All of the good preaching is filled with the Holy Ghost. It says the message of the gospel in that thing right there, what he's talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost, is got to be preached like that, for without that, the message is lifeless. And being filled makes the speaker fearless, because when they were captured and questioned in verse 3, they put them in hold and waited until the next day to bring them out. And what's Peter do? Stand up, filled with the Holy Ghost, starts preaching. And he starts going on with this thing. And he says here that he's filled with the Holy Ghost there, preaching that and saying that. And he starts talking about the Jew first over there, and deals with all that stuff over there, ye elders of Israel and stuff like that. Because that's who the gospel is offered to first. When God sent his only begotten Son, he came into his own received him not. He died under their hand. It was the Romans that done the crucifying, but the Jews was the one who got the trial started.
Yep.
They falsely accused him at a false trial at night. They turned him over to the Romans. They couldn't get no satisfaction out of his answers. And finally they said, we can give you Barabbas or Jesus. And of course the Jews were out there on it. It's time to give us Barabbas. You got people chanting that stuff. And they crucified our Lord. But it says plainly, though, he points that thing out to the elders of Israel. And when the gospel is offered first to Israel, Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We're just wannabes and could have beens. He went to the Jew first. You know why? That was his people. Right. He still loves his people. Let me tell you a little joke makes sense about this. If you take a Jew and an Arab and drop them off in a desert where they'll never see each other, never find each other, and come back in 1 year, this is how God blesses a Jew just because he's a Jew. You'll find that Arab over there in a tent, having killed the other three guys that you sent to get him, and he's got a gun somehow. You go find that Jew, and he's Las Vegas over there making tons of money.
Yep.
But y'all didn't watch The Godfather, where a Jew goes out there and starts all that stuff? That's one part of that movie that is true.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? You don't know. It's just it's incredible how God blesses in people like that. You know why Hitler hated Jews? This isn't a joke. They owned all the banks in Germany. He thought they'd done that through trickery. They didn't. They done it because they're blessed of God. That's why he wanted them all dead. He hated them. But he thought they was doing something crooked. He convinced the German people of that. He told them they were shipping them out. He didn't tell them they were shipping concentration camps because of by and part, the country of Germany did not know what was going on right under their noses.
Yep.
What's that smoke going up out there? Oh, it's a factory. Can we have a job? No, it's a military factory. They'd tell them things like that. But when it's all over, it was American paratroopers that come into those prison camps right into them. Germans fled like that. And you know what the Bible says? Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh over there. That thing became applicable that day, didn't it? That's not the interpretation, that's the application of that thing. If you go to the Jewish Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., those 24 flags,
yep,
them Army Airborne Rangers up there, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Well, God put, the, I mean, I was sitting there crushed, looked at that and started crying. Tour guide, you okay? I'm fine now. Are you sad, sir? No, I'm happy. These are tears of happiness because I know that same picture's coming again. They're going to surround them at the end of the tribulation. The church will be in heaven. And Jesus is coming right there to confront every one of his enemies that's been messing with that Jew. They're going to, you have Russia from over here, China from over here, the Arabs from over here. God only knows coming this way, probably America or South America or something. And right as they're about to close in and take them off this planet, Jesus Christ shows up and saves their life. Isn't that something? Coming to a Jerusalem near you. Going to happen just like that. Why do I believe that? Because this Bible says it. It's right about everything else. It'd be right about that too.
Yeah.
If you'll look over verse 31, they get over here and they decide we're going to have a prayer meeting. And it says in verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. I'm going to give you five pieces of advice out of that verse. Number one, keep prayer the main thing. Keep prayer the main thing. Number two, don't ever miss prayer meeting at church. Number three, prayer makes your preacher preach. It puts preach in your preacher. So don't miss prayer time at the house. Keep the prayer time the main time. Don't miss the prayer meeting. Prayer is what makes a preacher preach. Number four, prayer is what makes a church building God's house. Prayer is what makes a church building God's house. See, you ain't mentioned filled with the Holy Ghost. We ain't got there yet. We're just working on the prelims getting to the main event now. They got filled with the Holy Ghost after they prayed. You see that? They weren't praying in diabolical tongues or nothing like that. They were sitting there praying and God filled them with the Holy Ghost. And the crazy thing about that is, number five, prayer is what makes a Christian Christ-like. How many people you ever ask, are they saved? They tell you they're Christian. And they're not Christ-like. Well, what makes you saved? I got baptized. So if you get up with some work, something they did. But if you see somebody as a Christ-like Christian, God did that.
Amen.
you see a Christian that'll have boldness when he's preaching the Word of God, the preacher, that's a Christ-like Christian preacher, and he got that because he's filled with the Holy Ghost, and prayer got him to that point. People says, we can't be like that again. Oh, yes, we can. God will give you that thing whenever you want it. I'm glad, thank God, we're talking about the power of God. It comes through preaching and prayer. And if you look over in Acts chapter 9, some guy over here named Saul of Tarsus has been going through, and he was there in chapter 7 taking up the men's coats when they come along, and he got orders from the magistrate to go out and have Christians hauled in and killed and things like that. And through all that, we find out this. You'll never believe who got saved in Acts chapter 9. How about that? You ever thought about this? Wonder what a saved Joe Biden or a saved Kamala Harris or a saved Bill Clinton could have done for America.
Yeah.
By the way, it ain't too late. They're still breathing. Say, they're reprobates. Yeah, but God deals with that crowd. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man come to seek and to save that which is lost. There's your lost right there. Somebody told me one time they were praying for Alan Alda. You remember him? I didn't know he's still living. You'll never believe this. Guess who's a Jew? Alan Alda. Now think about what I just told you about that money and all that. Mash reruns are still on the air. He's still making money. Here's something crazy. You ever heard of that guy playing Get Smart back in the 60s? His name is Don something. What's his name? It's not Adams like you think. I can't remember it either, but he went for the audition of the thing, and his name was way down, whatever his real name is, but he's a Jew. So on the spot, they said, what's your name? He said, Don Adams. They said, come to the front of the line. He got a part. He was the first man, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he was the first man that they offered to pay him a big money each week till the thing went off the air, or pay him small money, and he could have, like, royalties from when they put it back on later. He said, I'll take the small salary and royalties. When I said get smart, your grandchildren know what that is. How about that? The cone of silence, you know, all that stuff. Shoe phone guy. That thing stayed on. It's still on TV right now. Agent 99, you know, the chief, all that. And a Jew is the star, still making money. Wonder if we'd pray for them guys, what God might do. You know, Kirk Cameron got saved. He's a TV star, big TV star. You ever know CNN, nothing no more? When they start showing up for Jesus Christ, Hollywood cuts them out. God says, fine, there'll come a day that you'll throw your trophies to the bats and them caves over there. In Isaiah chapter 2, when he that standeth mightily upon the earth, and he closes Isaiah chapter 2 with, see she for man whose breath in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? After he's just told all the global awards, the Grammys, and old Oscar, what they going to do with him when it comes tribulation time.
Yep.
God said that. Throw their trophies and their idols to them things. You get down here to Acts chapter 9, that we see that, you know, Jesus shows up, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord, with a capital L? He knew, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Well, actually, Jesus, I've not known you to this point. When you attack the church, you attack him.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you one quick thing that happened in my life. This isn't something. Brother Carter told me when I first took the church where I was at, there's seven people there. I told you before, the only thing they had in common is they all hated me. That's all. But I was like major pain. I'm glad you unified in something, you know. And there was one lady there that gave me a fit for 4 years. When we withdrew from the Southern Baptist Convention, she had her husband to call me on the phone and say, we won't be back. And the whole time in the background, she's saying, you tell him that this church was started Southern Baptist, and we'll die Southern Baptist. I said, put her on the phone. He said, preacher, I can't sleep on the couch. I'm too old. I can't do that. But she just kept on. There's another lady with her started me a bunch of problems. I called Brother Carter. I said, what do about this? He said, pray for them so you still love them. Pray for your enemies. Matthew 5:44. One lady 3 years later called me from the doctor's office parking lot. She said, I've got cancer. I've got several months to live. I want to come apologize to the church and get right with you, God, and everybody in it. I preached her funeral. She died on my birthday. Or the day after. I went to the hospital October 31st. Or October 3rd, excuse me. Wrong birthday. Just kidding. I was born October 3rd, but anyway, I remember on my birthday dinner, they called me, said she's dying, she wants you over here, and I went over there. The woman died right after 12. Had her funeral a few days later. And the other thing that was strange, I mean, you talk about strange, I'd never heard from other people hardly, but I heard she had cancer. When she died, she had cancer on the tip of her tongue. By the time she died, her tongue was cut out all the way back here. Boy, don't ever lay your hands on the things of God, and don't put your tongue on it, sure enough.
Yep.
And listen, that one lady, the person that died, she walked there saying, she said, I've been talking about him for the last 2 weeks. If God don't strike me dead, that means he's not called to preach. She remembered that very thing and told me she was sorry she said it. I'd already forgiven her because I knew that was not going to end well with her. And when that lady started talking about it, you tell him we're going to die Southern Baptist, I knew the Holy Ghost just nailed in my heart. She's going to die Southern Baptist. She may not die saved, but she's going to die Southern Baptist. And that don't mean I think Southern Baptist people are lost, but I knew she was going to die Southern Baptist right then, whether she was saved or lost. And listen, when people start doing all that stuff, God visits that thing. The problem people don't see is God don't pay on Friday, but he does pay. Whatever you sow to, you're going to reap of, and God's the one in control when the harvest comes. Saul's sitting here doing the same thing, except he's actually having Christians physically killed. And when he says, Lord, who are you? It says, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he said, Lord, what happened? What will thou have me to do? He said, rise, go to the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. That's Acts chapter 9, verse 4 through 6. And he goes over here in verse 10, and the Lord visits Ananias. And he said to him, he said, arise and go in the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. Now think about this. He's already letting know when you get there, he's going to be in a serious prayer meeting. He said, he hath seen a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. And the crazy thing is, he says, well, Lord, you know that guy's been killing people just like me. Lord, you know this man, he's come along and he's basically took out people that believes like me and follows you. Verse 15, but the Lord said to him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Remember that sowing and reaping thing? He sowed to it as a lost man and reaped as a saved man. But the reaping came suffering for Jesus' sake, not for stuff he had done. Verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared in thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. So we see God has plans for Saul, and he always accomplishes his plans through those that are filled with the Holy Ghost. A way to look at filled, a lot of people think that filled means you just take it and you pour it out and you fill it. God does the filling, but listen to this. This word filled is more like being controlled by. You heard about somebody being filled with anger? Their actions are controlled by that anger. Somebody's filled with the Holy Ghost, they're controlled by God.
Amen.
Now, isn't that something? So, here's the guy that was going to kill the church, now he's going to go out and start a bunch of them. And it wasn't like he had a mission board, Brother Ronnie, or support church. He had one support church, which was Philippi. I mentioned that the other day. And when he got through with his whole journey, they cut his head off.
Yep.
I don't see a line foreman for that job.
No.
I heard a guy say the other day, this great preacher had died. He said, I'm going to take that preacher's place. And I thought, boy, you couldn't walk a mile in that dude's shoes, much less a step. Man, you don't take great men of God's place. You may become one, but you won't take one's place. Being filled with the Holy Ghost. Look over to Acts chapter 13. And this is the last occurrence of the phrase filled with the Holy Ghost. This is number 8 down here. We saw the preservation of God, but now we're going to see the preaching of God in this thing over here, because he's going to do something I've never seen a whole lot of preachers do. Down at verse number 6, they've ordained Paul and Barnabas to go out on their missionary journey. This is Saul. His name's now Paul. And it says in verse 6, and when they had gone out to the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. So you got a false prophet and a police hanging out together, and the police thought the guy was a good guy until he came into this prayer meeting right here. And it says in verse 8, but Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. So he came out there and said, whoa, you can't have a convert now. That's how I get by with that stuff I do. That's what he was doing with the deputy. But then, the strangest thing, then Saul, who is also called Paul, there's where the name change happens, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. Now watch this. We're glad to have you, dear brother, in our service today. God bless you. It's so wonderful to have you. You wouldn't believe back home, listen, all these guys talking about, well, that guy with the director of the Bad Association, that's old devil. If he comes to my church, I'd load his wagon. If he comes to your church, you're going to tell him what a great, wonderful time and pleasure it is to have him, let him lead in prayer.
Yep.
They all do it.
Yep.
They all do it. They had one just recently. He's a younger guy. He wears shorts everywhere he went, flip-flops and all of the stuff. Director of missions, mind you. They were going to build a beer and wings place downtown. He had a little thing right beside it there, a little room he rented, where they'd serve up coffee and alcohol to people and talk to them. Well, we've got to get sinners where they at. Being filled with the Holy Ghost, they got away from strong drink and wine and all this other stuff, right? I don't know what them people's salvation is, but I know what they're not filled with. They might be filled with liquor, that other spirit.
Yeah.
But I noticed Paul, when the bad guys showed up, he didn't cut no corners on them. And the strangest thing here, he don't sit there and tell them how good they are and everything else. It says, and he said he's filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 10, and it said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Now, how would you like if Brother Ronnie's here Sunday morning and a couple of them good little old Mormons come in, they go sit in the back row, they look to see who's here. So next week when they go out and all these people there, he's like, oh no, we were that church up there. He said, well, I was there Sunday, didn't see you. That's what they're doing. He said here about this guy, the false prophet. Let me read to you again. O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? We was talking about Jimmy Robbins, he's a great friend of mine up in Cowpens, has a church up there. And Jimmy is as wild, or was as wild, as a buck. If I met somebody that like him, I'd know there's a fake. Because there's only God only made one of him.
Yeah.
And people used to get sideways to Jimmy for everything. He preached a funeral one time, I'll never forget it. He said, this man right here is in hell, and you're going to hell behind him if you don't straighten up and repent and turn to Jesus Christ. Four guys jumped on him at the graveyard. I asked him, I said, would you take that back? He said, I'd say it again. Fearless preacher. He's about this tall, too.
Yeah.
Now, listen to this. There was two Mormons that come into his church on a Sunday morning. Sat at the back, had their little tags on. You know, I don't know if they rode the bicycles or not. I didn't ask. Jimmy's up there talking before service, and he spots him. He comes straight to him. Walks back there to him and said, get out! They looked at him and said, we was just staying here for get out! Get out now! And they left.
Yep.
They went back to the guy that was over them, and he got saved later on because of the result of this, and Brother Carter come to my Bible Institute and graduated. So he told me what happened next or something. He said, they come back and forth. We went to that church, and they threw us out. He said, who threw you out? He said, the pastor. He said, no way. These Baptist pastors are not like that. They're nice. He said, I'll go back with you next week. Bad move. So they come in there next week. There's three of them sitting on the back row. Jimmy's talking to somebody, and he turns around and sees them. There he come. He got back there and said, what'd I tell you boys last week? Guy's name Buddy. Buddy says, now, sir, we're just here to hear the preaching. We're not here to do anything. He said, who are you? He said, my name is. He says, get out with him! Before I have to throw you out. Now, I know some of you are very critical. So, why didn't he let us hear the preaching? Huh? That's not how you treat them people. You treat them like he did.
Yeah.
My stepfather, who is a Mormon, my mother married him and told me I'd let him in my house now or else. I said, well, you better get you a lawyer because he ain't coming in my house. I'll get the sheriff down here and run him out. I met him. He's one of the nicest guys I've ever met. but I don't let him in my house.
Yeah.
They went back to Kansas City or out there, and then my grandma died. Well, God's got a way to work things out. Grandma dies. They come back for the funeral, and everybody in my family hated my guts because I wouldn't let that man come in my house. All them great Baptist relatives, oh, well, there's many ways to heaven, honey. You can be a Mormon and go to heaven. Bunch of reprobates, all of them. So Grandma left specific instructions that the way Grandpa's funeral went, she wanted everything like his. I preached that one, too. So these two Southern Baptists stick me in the middle of them so they can't, you know, if I get out of line, they correct me or whatever, right? Good luck with that. Because I preach that my grandma, who's in that gasket, run that crowd off. I talk about Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. I said, there's 10 of you preachers sitting here. You ain't got the guts of the splattered windshield with a gnat to be able to do anything like that. I said, y'all are a bunch of cowards. Y'all let your deacons drink. I said, Grandma said drinking is wrong. She showed me in the Bible where it's at.
Yeah.
I preach that stuff, and one guy's looking at me over here with the family. Him. When the funeral's over, 400 people there, 3 people talked to me after the service out of 400 people. My cousin Scotty that owns Vic's Tire, his mother, and that woman, my stepfather. He said that was a great message. I needed it. He flies back to Kansas City a few months later. I'm at a church in Shelby, North Carolina. It was old, it's got the balcony up there and 3 rows of pews, and they only had 30 people left in the church. Dying, you know, and everything else. Preached revival at that church. Brother Ronnie, Dave Edwards Toyota guy, you know him, the multimillionaire. He divorced his wife, traded her in on a younger model. Used to run around with Dale and Teresa Earnhardt. That's their double dating crowd. She got saved Thursday night. We're shouting the glory about that, because she went from living in a mansion, living in an old bombed-out trailer behind the Sun Drop factory in Shelby up there. I mean, God moved to that place Thursday night. She's there, and, you know, she's sitting on the front row all cleaned up, got her Bible, you know, the whole thing. We was glad to see God save somebody, and they come back to church. Amen.
Amen.
In the door, walked in the back. I'm sitting with my preacher, my mama, my stepdaddy, my Uncle Don that I mentioned, his wife. They were coming to get them from the airport or something, and he said, well, can we go to his church Sunday? They said, well, he's preacher of Bible Night Shepherd. Can we go? I mean, come right out of the airport and go right to the church, you know. And they're 30 rows in the back there. And I thought, wow. And I was preaching on the rapture of the church out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Tore him slam to pieces. He knew he wouldn't go. He knew he was lost. See, when he was a kid, he heard all that, and he got tricked into the thing later on about that cult. I told him plainly, he come after service, can I come to your church Sunday? Will that be okay? I said, yeah, okay. And he came. You remember him. He got saved that Monday night. And when he asked me, he said, why did you not let me in your house? I don't understand. I said, 2 John chapter 7, I mean, just 2 John verse 7 through 10 says to tell people that's involved in cults not to come into your house, nor neither bid them Godspeed. I said, your problem why you hadn't got saved before this, he said, was your relatives, because everyone said I was okay.
Yep.
Guess what's coming next funeral? Amen and amen.
Amen.
They thought that last one was rough. Wait till the next one. Amen. You might as well shout, because you know that's right.
Yeah.
I ain't got sense enough but to do it, and God's going to let it happen, and I'm going to be there to do it. Lord willing, church don't rise, rapture don't happen, my death come about, but next funeral's going to be kind of rough. Like they say at sea, we're going into some stormy waters, friends.
Yeah.
Listen, if you'll do what God will do, see, when Jimmy Robbins went back around and threw them people out, he done it because 2 John 7 through 10. Buddy told me, he said, I was so put out. He said, I didn't know what to think. I'd never been brought out of church in my life. Proselyting people from all them churches. And all, now all of a sudden somebody stood up to him. So he backslid somehow. I think they're termed as being a Jake Mormon, if I'm not mistaken. I've only taught cults 14 years, but I never really let it stick to it. Just stick up here, get out there, and go to the next thing. But he was a Jake Mormon. Means he has backslid, right? So Jimmy goes back there and does that to him, runs him out. He's a few months later, he's done fell out, didn't know what to do. He goes to Brother Carter's church, he's sitting there and he gets the same treatment. Brother Carter came to us and said, "You still in that club?" He said, "No, sir, I've not been in months." He said, "Okay." He had said, "Yeah, you know what the next word is? Get out!"
Amen.
See, that's what they do. They come to proselyte people here.
Yeah.
When the shepherd sees the wolf coming, he drives him off. A hireling says, "I'm so glad to meet you today. God bless you. I hope their false teeth fall out when they do it the next time." But listen, when you do what God says, God honors His word. He done that woman that way, and guess what? That woman got saved. God put on a burden on his heart to start living for the Lord. He ended up coming up to our Bible Institute, our church, and graduated, if you can believe that. I preached his graduation at Brother Frankie's church.
Yep.
Crazy stuff. God can. All because the one guy says, "He is filled with the Holy Ghost, said, O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil." Our former mayor came to me and said, "You might have come to your church to politic, or whatever they call it." I said, "No, you can't come." He said, "Well, I'm a Baptist like you are." I said, "No, you're a Baptist. It's a Democrat, and you believe in murdering babies. You can't do that." He said, "What do you mean, believe in murder?" I said, "Bill Clinton, president at times." He said, "Yeah." I said, you line up with him?" He said, "Of course he's a Democrat." I said, "Yeah, he's a Democrat, just like you."
Yep.
I've had other politicians come. I give them a few minutes here and there, as long as they, line up with beliefs. I've had men come in running for sheriff. Bill Blanton, our former sheriff, was sheriff for 30 years or whatever. He come down on a Sunday morning. He said, "I don't want to speak. I'm just coming to say, hey, you folks, I'll put you some cards." He said, "I won't do that in church." Oh, dear God, what kind of politician are you, And he comes down there and he said, "Why don't you come preach to my men?" I said, "When?" He said, "Oh, this week. Come Thursday." Okay, so I show up Thursday and told him to. And I'm thinking we're going to the prison, because I preach in prison. I thought we're going to the jailhouse. He brings the detectives and the deputies in there.
Yep.
You talking about something else. Same message fit both crowds. You must be born again.
Amen.
Don't look down on them dudes over there. You lost. I said, the bad thing about being a cop, and I said this, one of them got on a bad conviction. But he didn't get mad. He got a conviction about it. I said, if you think they're the problem and you're lost, you're deceived.
Yeah.
Because God will use that jailhouse to get to them guys, and about one out of 100 of them that says they get saved will get saved. I said, you know it, because you've locked up a guy so much, and all of a sudden he just disappears. You don't see him anymore. One day you see him out on the street somewhere, and you don't want to ask him because you're the arresting officer and you think, "I'll start a fight right here in public over him." But you tell God saved him. That guy came to me and said, I got to go to church and do something. I said, "Well," he said, "I got to get right with God, my pastor, and everybody else." He said, "Because I seen that guy the other day and told me his name." I had no idea. They still got about 300 more down there that need to get saved.
Yeah.
But God uses that place over there. And I never dreamed in a million years that I'd sit there and watch a guy sit there and take notes while I'm preaching and shout me on everything. I kept thinking, who is he? He's just a saved guy. Just a saved guy. If you can go out and live a criminal life, it might be a saved deputy that saves your life from not letting you do certain things. So who would say something like that? Somebody filled with the Holy Ghost would say that. I like it how he just called that man out and told him he is a child of the devil. Next thing that happens to him, he says in verse 11, "And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." And immediately it fell on him in a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Now, that poor mean preacher, he just told an old false prophet, now he's blind. God has a sense of humor. Have we been seeing the words deputy keep showing up in that text? Verse 12, "Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord." God was after one man there, and it wasn't old Elimus, but God sure got him out of the way when he could get to that man.
Amen.
Nothing better than saved police. Amen and amen. If I'm going to be locked up tonight, I hope it's saved police come lock me up, not the lost police.
Amen.
You know, the difference is lost police be kind of rough with you sometimes. I used to be lost, and Ned's lost. I know what I'm talking about. We used to have little run-ins back 25, 30 years ago, probably 30, 35 years ago now. And you know, it's good to see that God saves them guys. I know I told y'all the other day about some of my past. There was this old highway patrol. I hated his guts. His name was Rod Riom. He chased me. Every time I seen him, if we passed and he saw my yellow duster, I saw him turn around and come get me. This is back when cops knew how to drive and they could jerk that stick up and turn around and be right there on me, hit the gas, you know. If it was dark, if he saw my color of my car when we passed, I'd just look up in the mirror and wait for him. I could see it spinning around. Do you know how to do that? This is back in early 80s, mid 80s, late 80s. They done that. In bigger cars with a smaller road. Now you got to see them pull in, get out, make a U-turn, then throw the light. It was lights coming on the car, spinning around, come get me. When I told you Brother Rod got saved, I got saved. We saw each other years later. He come to hear me preach, and he come to hear me preach. I said, Brother, I got an honorary keys to a 72 Duster I want to give you for stopping that car so many times. I'm telling you, unbelievable. Tonight, listen. That deputy believed because God got the false prophet out of the way.
Yeah.
Tonight, listen, do you believe? Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Have you ever, listen, don't answer this, but if you really ask God, fill me with your Holy Ghost so I can do something for you today. Before you go out witnessing, handing out tracts, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost and maybe do that. Before I preach, Lord, will you fill me with the Holy Ghost? You don't have to do it in front of nobody. It's always better to do it by yourself because God honors in private prayers more than he does in 3-hour-long public prayers. Do you believe? And have you ever been filled with the Holy Ghost? Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.